times. Take your Bible, if you will, to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 this morning. I'm going to preach to you from this passage of Scripture today and hope to just kind of challenge you a little bit if I can. In Acts chapter 4, we're going to begin reading down in verse 13. The Bible said, "Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were ignorant or unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, as manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name.' And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, 'Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.' So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need to hear from heaven today. Lord, we thank you for the good things of this week, the blessings, the rain. Lord, now we need a special blessing from above. We need to hear from you. Help me, Lord, as I speak, to say what you want me to say. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. Do you ever remember a time, maybe when something was so good and it had such an effect upon you that you just had to do something about it, all right? Or maybe you just had to do it again, if you will. Maybe, for instance, you had one piece of that pie and you thought, well, I really shouldn't eat another one, but I just can't help myself, you know? Going to go back and get another one, all right? And it wasn't something like that, but it was something so good, it had an effect, and you just had to do something, you know? And then after you had done it, somebody questioned your answer, your action, and your answer was, "I just couldn't help myself." I'll be honest with you, I think that's what we are reading here in chapter 4 of Acts. I believe we're reading of that kind of situation. Peter and John, in the first part of chapter 4, had been out really minding their own business. They were going to the temple, and they were going there at the hour to pray, and they were given an opportunity to do something to help a lame man. And I preached from that section. I'm not going to rehash all of it, but after this man was healed, man, he's up, he's leaping, he's praising God. He made a scene. And any time that kind of thing happens, it attracts a great deal of attention. And so people swarm to him. You know, hey, when a lame man starts walking and jumping and shouting, it can draw a crowd, all right? It can really do that. However, because of that attention, Peter and John were hauled off to spend the night in jail. They were taken there, you know, and they said, "It's your fault you caused all this hubbub," you know. And the next day, they were brought in before the council to give an account of what was going on and what they had done and all that. And then those religious rulers, though, knew they were on shaky ground. I mean, as you read that passage, you know, they're saying, "What shall we do to these men?" In verse 16, "For in that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, as manifest to everybody that lives here." So everybody around here knows this guy, and everybody knew what he was, and now this is going on. So they knew they were on shaky ground, but they wanted to stop it. So they ordered Peter and John, as we would say today, to cease and desist. Right?
Amen.
Don't do that anymore. And it's then we find Peter and John saying, and I'm going to put it in my terminology in verse 20, we just can't help ourselves.
Amen.
We just can't help ourselves. Amen. Now, whether it's right to, you know, where it's right in the sight of God to listen to you instead of God, you figure that out. But hey, we just can't help ourselves, all right? And you say, well, why was that so? I believe there's three things that we find here that show why it was that way. And I just wonder how many of them have happened to you, okay? How many of them happened to you? Look back in verse 13. I think here's the first thing, and here's it starts here, and this is the beginning. The end of verse 13, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I want to tell you something. You being with the Lord Jesus Christ is definitely going to stir your soul, and it's going to leave some evidence. It's just going to do something for you, all right? Here these fellows were. They had been with Jesus. Peter and John had been with Jesus. They had walked now for about 3 years, 3.5 years with him, and they had seen everything, you know, done. They had been with him. They had been present. They had gotten the teaching that he gave them. They had been with him. They had spent time with him. Hey, they were at the temple in chapter 4 here at the hour of prayer, but I've got a feeling they had already prayed, all right? Yes. Just got a feeling they had already spent some time in prayer. They had been with him, and it did something for him. You say, preacher, what's wrong with you? I've been with Jesus.
Amen.
That's what's wrong with me. You say, what makes you the way you are? I hope it is because I've been with Jesus.
Amen.
I've been with him. Hey, I was with him at birth. Now, wait a minute. I'm not talking about 69 plus years ago when I discovered America, okay? No, I'm talking about the second birth.
Yeah.
I mean that time when as a 9-year-old boy, I met the Lord. Now, I'd heard about him before that. Hey, I've been going to church ever since I was 2 weeks old. I never missed a service. Now, I'll be honest with you, a lot of them I don't remember. I don't remember a lot of them. I don't remember the sermons I've heard and all of that in those early years. But man, I'd heard about Jesus ever since I was a little bitty kid going to Sunday school. And I'd been taught about Jesus. I'd sang about him. But I didn't meet him until I was 9 years old. And that day when I got born again, hey, if he hadn't been there, I wouldn't have got born again. He is the door, the Bible said, through which man must enter to be saved. You've got to come through to him, and you got to come through the Lord to get that new birth. And so I met him there, all right? And man, it made a difference in me. I'd been with him the first time. I knew him. I went to school the next day. I'm just going to be honest with you, couldn't help myself. Could not help myself. I had to tell somebody. Now, I didn't stand on the lunch table during lunch period and say, hey, just everybody let me have your attention a little bit. I want to preach to you a little while. No, but I'm going to tell you, I cornered Kirby Collier. I still remember his name. I still remember that kid. I cornered Kirby Collier out on the playground, and I said, man, I got saved last night. He probably didn't know what I was talking about, and I couldn't explain it all the way, but I had to tell somebody. Said, why? Well, I couldn't help myself, all right? Something happened to you. Hey, the more time you spend with Jesus, the more it's going to show up in your life. Your actions, your deeds, your words. Hey, everything, your affections. It's going to show up. If you spend more time with him, you say, how am I going to do it? Well, spend time with him in his book. Spend time with him in his book. Spend time with him in the house of God, in the church. The Bible said it's the house of the living God. Spend time in his presence when you pray. Hey, I want to tell you this. The Bible said when we pray, we come into his presence. When we kneel to pray, or we sit and pray, or we stand and pray, or you're driving down the road praying, you come into his presence. The Bible said, let us come boldly under the throne of grace. We come, we spend time. Hey, I'll tell you, the more time you spend, it'll change you. It'll change you. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They saw it. Hey, I want to tell you, you spend more time with him, you can't help speaking up for him.
Amen.
There's just no way. You can't help serving him when you've been with Jesus. So what's the problem? I just can't help myself. I just can't help myself. Why? I've been with him. I've been with him. I want you to notice down in verse 20, all right? Notice down in verse 20. Here's that second thing. Why they couldn't help themselves. Notice what it says. For we cannot but speak the things, notice, which we have. What's that next word? Seen. Hey, they had seen some things. You think about Peter and John? You think just a little bit about what those fellows had seen? They'd been there that day Jesus took that little boy's sack lunch and prayed over those few fish and those few loaves and break them and said, you pass it out. And the disciples had already said, now we got a sack lunch, but what is that among so many? He said, you just have them sit down. And he took that lunch and he broke it up and they passed it out. And man, 5,000 men plus the women and children ate. Not only did they eat, but they were filled. They were filled. Not only did they eat and were filled, there was more left over than they had when they started. Hey, they'd seen that. They'd been there when he fed the 4,000. Little different lunch, but the same results. They'd seen that. Hey, they had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. They'd seen when he had been without and he'd find that sick individual. They were there that day, I believe, when they opened the roof and let that man of that was taken with palsy down. And they had seen the Lord say to him, hey, just get up, take up your bed and walk. He said, they were there. They saw that. They saw that. They had seen him take and spit on the ground and make a little bit of poultice, if you will. Put it on the eyes and say, you go wash, you'll see. They'd seen that. They had seen him speak to those that had leprosy. And they had seen that one come back cleansed.
Amen.
They saw that. They saw that. They saw it that day when old Bartimaeus, stand on the side of the road, cried out, Jesus, have mercy on me.
Amen.
And they'd seen the Lord step aside and give him sight. They'd seen that. They'd seen the deaf made where they could hear. Not only that, they were there that day in Bethany. They were there that day in Bethany. Saw the sorrow of the family of Lazarus, the weeping of his friends, his family members. They had been there when Jesus had to move that stone away. They're there when he called out, Lazarus, come forth. They were there. They saw Lazarus come out of that grave, still wrapped in those grave clothes. They saw that. Can I say this to you? If you've seen a few things like that, how are you going to help yourself? How are you going to say, no, can't say nothing. You said don't say nothing. I'm not going to say anything. And they couldn't help themselves. You said, preacher, if I'd seen things like that, but wait a minute. I don't know about you, but I've seen some things. I've seen some things that God did. I've seen God answer prayer. I've seen God do what nobody else could do. I'm honest, the two, immediately as I was working to prepare the message, the two illustrations that came to mind was two car wrecks. One was my brother and the other was Nathan DeHoyas. Now, I'm going to talk about Nathan. He stands out, but he stands out because of what the ICU nurse told me one day. Nathan DeHoyas was in a car wreck. If you weren't around then, bad wreck, and his vehicle flipped and rolled several times, and he was driving, and his head literally hit the ground as that vehicle flipped. He's behind the wheel, and he's in the seatbelt. I went to the hospital, got the call, went up to Decatur, and he was there in the hospital. Talked to him, and his man, he said, boy, my head hurts, something terrible, and prayed with him, and I'll never forget, as I was walking away, they had called a care flight. They were going to fly him from Decatur to Fort Worth to the hospital. And so the care flight was there, and I'd prayed with him. I left. The last words said, I love you, Brother Marlin. And later on, I wondered, that's the last words I'd ever hear him say. He got in that hospital, and man, his condition deteriorated terribly. And I'll never forget going into ICU and seeing his head. It was swollen unbelievably. Literally, instead of the normal shape of a head, it was swollen so badly that it was really round. And there was an ICU nurse there, and I talked to her just a minute. She had worked in ICU and seen a lot of those kind of things. And I said, I want to ask you something. I said, I want to ask you what you think. What's about him? Here's the word, she said, if he lives, you'll never know the Nathan you used to know. Dead wrong. Dead wrong. Boy, I remember the times we were gathered in the ICU waiting room and there was a host of people there. He was going, you know, he had friends from school had gathered with him and they were gathered there together and we got on our knees and we prayed. And as a church, we prayed. And there were people all across the country praying for Nathan. And he was in the hospital a long time. But I want to tell you, you meet him now, he's the same knucklehead he was before it happened. He's got the same personality he had. He has the same sense of humor he has. The only difference is his speech is a little different because he had a stroke in his brain stem while he was unconscious. But he's the same guy. Same guy. Why? Seeing what God can do. I've seen what God can do. I want to tell you this, I've seen God clean up an old sinner. One of the great things about being a preacher's kid is to see lost people get saved and then begin to grow. Man, I remember a fellow down in Florida. Scraggly looking guy, boy, looked terrible. He came to church, you know, a few times, but he got saved. And then every time he'd come to church after that, he just looked a little different. Began to cut his hair. He'd come back next time, cut it a little more. He finally showed up with a really good haircut. Man, God had changed his life. I mean, he wasn't the guy that he used to be. He wasn't that way at all. Hey, I tell you, I've seen him change the drunk to the sober. I've seen him change those from fleeing from the law to following the Lord. I've seen him change the sorry to the sublime, the unwanted to the needed and wanted. I've seen God do that. You know what? How can you not do it? I can't help myself. If I'm going to brag on somebody, it's not going to be anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? I've seen it. I've seen it happen. But notice that in verse 20 again. It said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Hey, they had heard some things. You ever stop and think about what Peter and John had heard? They were among the three that were there on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus Christ. They heard the voice of God from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. They heard that. Let me tell you something. You come down off of that deal, you're going to say, well, not going to say nothing. We're not going to say nothing now. No, that was special. We're just not going to say nothing. No, they said, can't help myself. I just can't help myself. And they had seen some things. They had heard some things. They had heard Jesus Christ preach. They had heard him teach. They had heard him unfold truth that was just mind-boggling to them. They had heard that. And now these fellows at that council had said to him, knock it off. Don't you say another word about him. We can't help ourselves. We just can't help ourselves. I want to tell you something. I've heard some things too. Have you heard them? Look over with me at Romans chapter 8, would you? Look with me at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look down in verse 35. Look at verse 35, Romans 8. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I remember as a little kid singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Hey, I heard he loves me. I heard he loves me. Mercy. Just think about it. He loves me. You look around and say, how could he love you, preacher? I don't know, but I'm glad he does. He loves me. And now we have in our songbook a song that we don't sing enough. I'm so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Hey, I heard him. I heard it said, hey, he loves me. Man, what a blessing that is. But wait a minute, it goes past that. Go back to Matthew chapter 11, would you? Matthew chapter 11. Not only does he love me, but Matthew chapter 11. Notice what he says here. You got Matthew 11, look at verse 28, would you? Matthew 11, look at verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You know what that verse says? That verse says he wants me. And not only does he love me, but he wants me. You ever heard somebody say, well, I love that person, but I just can't like them? I won't tell you, the Lord not only loves me, he wants me. He wants me. What a joy. What a joy it is to know he wants me. But there's a word in there I want you to see. Come unto me, what's the next word? All. Hey, that's all of us. He wants you. He wants you. I'm not up here saying something that's just about me. I'm not up here saying, hey, he loves me and doesn't love you. No, he loves you too. But I heard that. Have you heard that he loves you? Not only that, have you heard that he wants you? He wants you to come. Hey, I got to think about it. He loves me. That's me. That's right. Me. He loves me. And he wants me. What a blessing it is. Hey, not my neighbor. Not my friend. Not somebody else. Not somebody richer. Not just the poor. No, that invitation is directed to every one of us. That invitation is directed to me. Directed to you. What a wonderful thing to hear. What a wonderful thing to hear. I think about old Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus shinnied up that sycamore tree. He wanted to see the Lord. The Lord's coming by, and the Lord, he had no idea how it was going to come out. He didn't have to go up the tree. The Lord could have found him. And so he came down to that tree, and the Bible said he called out Zacchaeus' name. And then he said, you come down. I'm going to your house. Hey, Zacchaeus heard, hey, he loves me. And he wants me. He wants me. What a wonderful thing it is. He wants me. That's why I can't help myself. There's a lot of people in this whole world don't love me. There's a lot of people in this world don't want me. I give the kids at school a hard time. We had a young boy. He's our senior this year. We only have one senior this year. And he was talking about he had a birthday. I think this was last week I was talking to him. He had had a birthday, and I told Brother Dunbar and the whole class, I said, man, I said, how long you been here, Noah? He said, well, for about 12 years, I guess, started school here. I said, you know, I've known you all them years, Noah. You ain't never invited me to your birthday party. I can tell when I'm not wanted, you know. I'm going to tell you this, I've heard some things. I've heard he loves me. I've heard that he wants me. I won't tell you differently personally. I've heard him say to me before, peace, be still. Man, going through some storms in life, and I got a little apprehensive, got a little worried, didn't literally wring my hands, but I was thinking about it. But I've had him. And his spirit say to my spirit, hey, Marla, just relax, boy. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. I'm in control of what's going on here. You don't need to sweat it. I'll take care of you. I've been taking care of you a long time. I can take care of it now. Hey, I've heard some things. How about you? I've heard some things. Go with me to John chapter 14. Now, if you know your Bible, you know what's coming. John chapter 14. Oh my, what great words. Yeah, I've heard it. He loves me. He wants me. He's calmed me in the storm. And when their trials come along, he's been able to say, you just don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. The man in John chapter 14, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you in verse 2. I go to prepare a place for you. Hey, you know what? He's preparing me a place in heaven. He's fixing it up. Been there a couple thousand years working on it. My, can you imagine what it's going to be? He said, I'm going to prepare a place in heaven for you. That's what John 14 talks about, that great truth. As I said, he's been working on it for a while now. He said, preacher, that's for everybody. Not unless you're born again. It's only for those that are born again. But wait a minute, it gets better. He said in verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Hey, he's coming back. He's coming back. I was in the hospital room Friday. My wife and I with Miss Brown, her sister was there and her son. We got to talking. And I asked Miss Brown, I said, Miss Brown, is everything okay? You're calm about it? She said, yeah, preacher, that everything's all right. It's good. She said, whatever comes, okay, I'm not worried. I said, well, it's not necessarily that I think he's coming to get you right now. I said, I hope you'll make it, and I'm praying you'll get through the surgery and everything will come out great. Said, the truth of the matter is, though, we're all going to leave one of these days. Need to be ready to go. And I told her then, I said, but I hope we'll all go together. Amen. Oh, I hope he'll come back. I've got my tune. I've heard him. I've heard some things, but I'll tell you what I'm listening for now is the sound of the trumpet, my friend. I'm listening for that. Heard some things. Can I tell you this? I can't help myself. I just can't help myself. We get to singing the songs here in church. Now, you can listen to them with no smile or whatever. I can't. I get to thinking about the message of that song and, boy, the God just moves in my heart, and I'm thinking, yeah, I've seen some things. I've heard some things. I've spent some time with him. Hey, I can't help myself. I can't help myself. Now, look, I'm like you. My football team's playing, and they score. I get excited, and I'm happy. I'm going to tell you, nothing compares to what it happens in my soul when the Lord come in. Spent time with him. I can't help myself. I can't help myself. Go back to Acts chapter 4 and we'll be done. I want you to look at one verse, all right? I want you to look. It can't help myself. Why? They took note of them that they had been with Jesus. All right? They had been with Jesus. But I want you to look at verse 14. Verse 14 of Acts chapter 4. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, okay, they could say nothing against it. Hey, can I tell you this? When you've spent time with Jesus, when you've heard, you've seen some things, and God's done a work in your life and changed you, you hear me. They can't say a word against it. Oh, they can lie. They can belittle and they can mock, but there's nothing they can say. The world has no answer for the working of our God. None whatsoever. They said it's obvious a notable miracle has occurred. Look with him. I don't tell you this. He said, preacher, I wasn't lame. Yeah, you were lost. You were undone. You were without hope. You were without God. You're on your way to hell, and you got saved, and you said, nothing's happened. Man, something ought to have occurred. I can't help myself. I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to say something about it. There ain't no answer sufficient to shut up the believer who's been with Jesus. Been with him. Let me just ask you this morning, does the world ever suspect that you've been with him? Does the world ever suspect you've been with Jesus? What have you seen? that Jesus Christ has done for you? What have you heard from him? Are you even listening to hear from him? I don't know about you, but I come to church. I go to hear somebody else been invited to go to a revival this week. And the bad thing is, it's in Mesquite. The worser thing about it is, they start at 7 o'clock. And I want to go. I'm going to tell you, if I get to go, every time I go to church, I want to hear something from God. I want something to happen to me. I want to be different when I walk out that door. And I just want to see something. See the Lord in my life. Hey, this old world, if they see it in you, and they come along and say, boy, what in the world made you do that? I just can't help myself. Preacher, why you go to church on Sunday night? We just go Sunday morning. I mean, our church don't even have church on Sunday night. How come you go Sunday morning and Wednesday? What's wrong with you? I just can't help myself. I just can't help myself. How about you? How about you? Have you spent time with him? What kind of difference has it made? Hey, let's be honest. It's easy to get away. It's easy to get cold. It's easy to get indifferent. It's easy not to spend much time with him. It's easy to bring your Bible to church if you can find it on Sunday morning. It's easy to bring it to church. But man, get it home and find time to open it up. Spend some time in it, reading it. Spend some time praying. Praying, not just, Lord, bless the food, amen. No, I mean some time you spend talking to God in his presence. Oh, listen, what's he done for you? Do you need to spend a little more time with him? Do you need to take a little more time to open this book? Do you need to do that? Do you need to back up and stop and think about really what you have seen and what you have heard? Well, I don't know about you, but I can't help myself. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, the truth of the matter is there's